Welcome to the Camp House Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Busby, and this is our special series focused on local elections for 2018. Over the summer, we bring you interviews featuring candidates running for local offices of County Mayor, County Commission, and Hamilton County School Board. In the end, we hope you are more connected and informed about the men and women hoping to receive your vote in August. Today, we bring you two interviews featuring candidates running for Hamilton County School Board in District 6, Michael Henry and Jenny Hill. Currently, District 6 is represented by Mr. Joe Galloway, who is not seeking re-election this year. Geographically, District 6 includes the communities of St. Elmo, Lookout Mountain, Lookout Valley, Alton Park, downtown Chattanooga, North Shore, Moccasin Bend, and a small portion of Red Bank. And now I give you our interview with Michael Henry, candidate for Hamilton County School Board, District 6. Well, Michael, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. We're continuing the series, introducing all of you to people running for County Commission, County Mayor, and Hamilton County School Board. And today I have the pleasure of sitting down with Michael Henry, who is running for Hamilton County School Board in District 6. And so, Michael, you know, I'd love to start these podcasts out by just asking you to tell us about yourself.
Sure. Of course, my name is Michael Henry. I absolutely love Hamilton County. I moved here over 5 years ago, specifically for UTC, specifically for the College of Business at UTC, but also because I have watched this place grow my entire life. My family moved around a good bit. Both of my parents are Air Force veterans, so we moved around. My dad took every promotion that he could, and every summer, because my dad's side of the family is from North Georgia as well, we would come to Chattanooga.
Oh, nice.
And I think most people, when they think of a vacation, they think about going to the beach, relaxing, going out to some restaurants. When the Henry family talks about vacation, you're talking about Civil War museums, railroad museums. You're talking about going
towing
to the aquarium.
Yeah.
And you're reading every single board in the aquarium. You're not just looking at the fish.
Yeah.
And so that really helped me grow in the understanding of Chattanooga and Hamilton County and really how much I love it. Just huge history here. All kinds of people fought together, died, and a lot of people worked here together. All kinds of different people, and that's what's so beautiful about the culture of Chattanooga. So I'm happy to be here, first of all. I got my undergraduate degree in music at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. When I knew I wasn't going to perform full-time as my career, I stepped up as a student leader. Well, I didn't choose that, really. People chose me. I had some mentors who slowly pushed me into becoming a student leader, and that was great because I was very introspective and didn't really know what my purpose was, where I was going. But as soon as I got to step up into some of these roles, I got to make an impact on other students, working as a resident assistant, eventually becoming president of housing, president of another organization's, vice president of an organization that I helped start that really focused on the community and helping others who are just don't have as much money or the same opportunities as us. That's what made me who I am today.
And so you came to Chattanooga to get your MBA in that case.
Yep. Okay. So after that, I tried to get jobs, and I thought the experience would get me a job, and someone with a business degree always ended up getting the job. I'd get really deep in the interviews, and someone with a business degree got the job, and that makes a lot of sense. Now that I have my MBA, now that I have the Business Analytics Certificate and Strategic HR Leadership Certificate from UTC, I understand why they hired a business major. And so now I'm glad that I get to work for our organizations, for our students, for our community here. I worked in marketing after that, and I more recently started my own business. I work mostly with musicians. I have other clients, though, especially who are focused on social impact, and I help get their business off the ground. I'm kind of a one-on-one business accelerator.
Yeah, is it a consultancy? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's just Michael C. Henry Consulting. I knew I could change the name of the business later, but just went ahead and went with my name because I really work one-on-one with clients. I sit down and I teach them anything that they need, even if it's taking them to the courthouse, managing their social media pages, putting website behavior tracking on their website, whatever it is. I really try and help them out and make sure that they're successful.
Well, you've already started going in this direction, but you know, I just want to push you a little bit further. You know, why are you running for District 6 School Board? Where did that passion come from?
Right. So I was fortunate to be involved in many different organizations, working in many different industries and fields, and that's what has allowed me to do consulting for any client who approaches me with help. And one of the things I didn't mention is while I was working on my MBA at UTC, I got a chance to work as a teaching assistant at Eastlake, Howard, and Brainerd.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I realized that emotional distress of working in a classroom with these at-risk students, well, it really wasn't something I could handle myself. It was. I respect, I applaud our teachers for what they do every day, because I couldn't do it. I couldn't sit with that at night knowing some of these students, it feels hopeless right now. Mm. Really, in the current system, it feels really hopeless for these kids. And so I knew with my leadership experience that was the role that I needed to be in, because I know what our students need. I know what our teachers need. I've been there. And so coming into the school board, that's a leadership role where I can be a voice, where I can be an ear for the students and the teachers and make decisions that help them get out of what right now kind of seems like a helpless circle.
Yeah. Well, you know, what is, I like to start with this basic question too, and you're already hinting at it, but what is the role of the school board in serving our public education system?
It kind of breaks down to three responsibilities, essentially. Hire and fire the superintendent. That's the one employee for the school board. And in that, you help him make decisions with central office, the Department of Education. That's your one employee. You rely on him and he relies on you. You are bound together by a contract, and you got to make sure that you continue to bring the best that you can to our schools. That is our constitutional responsibility. You also look at the budget, help them manage and approve the budget, make sure that money's going in the right direction. I believe this year it was 66% of the county budget is going to the schools specifically. So when you're looking at the county as a whole, the taxpayers' money, most of it's going to the schools.
Yeah, it's the biggest budget item in the county, in the county-wide budget. Yeah.
So that's important for people to know. And when I talk to people, sometimes they say, "Well, I don't have a kid in school, so I can't really help you." And I have to tell them, most of your tax money is still going to the decision making of the school board. And so that's the number two. And number three is writing policies. Probably one of my favorite policy examples that came actually this past year from the school board. Miss Kathy Lennon is in charge of the policy committee for the school board, and she helped push with some students and some local organizations to have a tobacco-free campus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a great policy to have, because if students see teachers, see parents, their role models out there using tobacco, that's what they're going to learn to do.
So, you know, as you have started campaigning and canvassing District 6, you know, what are you hearing from constituents? You know, whether that's challenges or hopes, what are you hearing from the people in District 6?
So I like the experience I've been able to have, because I worked at Eastlake, Howard, and Brainerd, but those schools are outside of my district. So I understand what these Opportunity Zone schools need, what they currently have and what they currently look like, but I don't directly represent those constituents. So that's a good thing, because the school board doesn't make decisions just for their district constituents. They make decisions for the entire county. So I come with a knowledge of not just my district, but other districts. Specifically for District 6, though, I think it's a very interesting beast. District 6, out of all of the county districts, pays the most taxes. And that makes a ton of sense. We have downtown, we have North Shore, Red Bank, Lookout Mountain, Lookout Valley, St. Elmo, really thriving, beautiful parts of our county. So we have some of the best schools in the county here. Lookout Mountain, we have the Lookout Mountain School, the elementary school, and they actually on Lookout Mountain have their own school board representing one school, but also works in conjunction with the District 6 school board member. And so that's interesting. And that school is so successful. This is what some people don't see, and is one of the issues that I know we're going to talk about. It comes up every single conversation, is this school is doing so well because the town of Lookout Mountain, their budget, they put over $600,000 in that one school each year. And that is just so blatant to see our schools are not properly funded. Mm. The same thing happens on the North Shore for Normal Park. They have people who their entire role is to raise money. Yeah. Same thing with CCA. They have someone on staff who's just there to raise money from the local community. And we're talking about over $200,000 at least every single year. So I want to make sure that not just those schools are getting additional help, because, wow, that leaves all these other schools way behind. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about Lookout Valley, there's a concern of those schools being shut down. So there's a great opportunity here, and we've seen the success in Lookout Valley as they were just awarded best high schools in Tennessee, bronze level, the Lookout Valley Middle High School. And that's because they have about a 10-to-1 student-to-teacher ratio.
Oh, that's incredible.
It's amazing yeah. for our students and our teachers, because they grow together as a community. But at the same time, their facilities are falling apart, and they use probably less than 40% of that facility there. So it's hard to ask the county for money to help just make sure our roof doesn't leak on these nice Mac computers that we have for our Future Ready Institute, because there are so few students that attend that school right now. So we need to be really strategic and talk to our community more about how they feel we can bring more students there. We'd like to maybe...
Yeah, do you see open enrollment as being a solution to that?
I don't think open enrollment as a blanket statement is what Hamilton County needs. I'm sure there are some counties out there that open enrollment has to happen, and school choice is important. I think that school choice is what has made many of these schools successful, like CCA and Normal Park. But when we're talking about Lookout Valley specifically, and then how open enrollment works, and the Future Ready Institutes as an example, and magnet schools, it is still limiting to those students who truly need the open enrollment and the help. Yeah. These magnet schools that require volunteer hours, require your being there, require your parent, your guardian, your grandparents being there. These students who really need the help from open enrollment still won't have the transportation, even if they could choose to go to a different school, which some people would call a better school. I would never say one school is better than the other. They're all unique, and we have to be able to measure their success in their uniqueness. But it's going to be interesting for us to try and figure out this equation. But I believe open enrollment is going to be great to help some of our county. But in communities like that, and the model we've seen in Red Bank, the model they're trying to implement in the opportunity zones, a community school model, which doesn't just bring more resources to the school, it makes the school a resource for the entire community, whether you have students or not. That's the key. That's the key for some of these smaller communities and some of these at-risk communities. We have to have all people involved, and we have to have families involved. I say it's even before conception. You need to start thinking about, how can I help my child, my student, be successful in the schools?
Well, you know, looking back at maybe the last 5 years of HCDE as a whole, you know, what is something that you see the county has done, that the county has been weak at or has done poorly over the last 5 years?
One of my pillars of my platform is communication. And it's a step above transparency. Just being transparent is not enough. Just having the information on a website is not enough if you can't get that message to the people it affects. It's about communication. And that has really been a detriment, really been a huge weakness of our school board, the Department of Education. We've had, I don't know how to describe it, we've had tragedies happen in our county, and these tragedies were swept under the rug for months and months and months. So when our community, our parents, our students finally find out that all of this has been swept under the rug by the people who are supposed to have their interests in mind first, supposed to be responsible for taking care of our students, we have lost trust. We have lost trust between our parents, community, students, teachers, and now everybody's working in silos. And ultimately, that leads us to just fighting one another. And we have to get buy-in again from all of those people. We have to build the trust again, and that's about bringing communication both ways, to listen and to make sure you get the message back to the people who you serve.
So, you know, the inverse of that is what is something you see that the county's been really good at, or what's been one of the strengths of the county of HCDE over the past 5 years?
I have to say probably Dr. Brian Johnson is one of the greatest things. We didn't stay stagnant. We realized that we have to find some change. We have to find somebody even from outside of our community who has been successful in overcoming obstacles and helping all of the students. Dr. Johnson has done that before, and we need to just be able to support him, but make sure, as someone who's come from outside of our community, make sure he understands what our constituents need. So I think that many things that have been implemented even before his time, some of these magnet schools like Mrs. Jill Levine turning over the North Shore, that has been huge. So if we can replicate a similar model in the opportunity zones, which she is now in charge of, we can see another flourishing community. Yeah.
Well, public education has certainly been a focus of the community over the past couple of years, you know, especially with the creation and the work of organizations like Chattanooga 2.0 and Unify Ed. What do you see as the role of these organizations within the realm of public education? And how do you, as a potential board member, see yourself working with these sort of organizations?
Kind of to the previous question, these organizations have helped communicate these issues that normally are behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. The superintendent, the school board, most of the community doesn't know what they are deciding. The influence that they really have on our students. So I am so thankful that these organizations have come and brought that message to the community. Now more than ever are we talking about our schools, and it is time. It is past time to have the focus of not only our money in the county budget, but every single person's efforts involved. So I'm excited that they continue to be an integral part. As a school board representative, I, again, will be an open ear. They are constituents of Hamilton County as well, and some of them are our top experts in this field. So I want to continue to be an open ear for them. I want to be a resource for them so that we can keep communicating. It's all about getting everyone on the same page and pushing forward. If we have half of the community, one organization, part of the community who's not on board to say our students are number one, well, then we're missing a part of our population of our students. Mm. All of our students need all of us. So I hope we can continue to come together and make decisions that benefit our students.
Well, over the last couple of months, you know, there's been a lot of talk about equity, a big discussion about equity within our schools. Do you see equity as an issue within our public schools?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Equity is a huge issue. Especially coming from our Opportunity Zone schools, working at those schools, seeing the difference. After I began to meet with principals in District 6 and some of our beautiful schools, CCA, Normal Park, the community has put a lot of time into making it a great environment for students. That's number one. We need to bring more money to our schools? Likely, yes. But number one, there are so many things we can do for free with just people's efforts, time, talents. That's what happened in Normal Park. They painted the school. They made it beautiful. When I was working at Brainerd, and I get this question all the time, does that place look like a prison? Mm. It does. Mm. That place looks like a prison. And that is one of the most easily visible inequities in our schools.
Yeah, I was driving through Atlanta a month ago for a meeting that we had down there with some friends. I was in the car with other people, and we were driving through East Atlanta, way over on the suburb sides. And I just said, "Hey, let's play a game." As we drive by these public schools, well, let's say, is this a prison or is this a school? It's hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely it is. So that's one of the just first things we can look at is, can we make this not look like a prison? Because if our students are in a school and it looks like a prison, where do you expect them to end up? What are we expecting of them if we have such crazy high teacher turnover? These students in the opportunity zone most likely don't have consistency at home. Then they come to school, and we have brand new teachers each year rotating out, crazy high turnover. That's probably the number two thing that I would focus on. Another thing that we don't have to throw money at. We just need to look at our policies, look at the culture of a Hamilton County and the way that we work for our teachers. We have to make sure we have consistency when these students come to school. They have to have consistency because the only thing that's going to get them out of these at-risk situations is themselves creating a sustainable, consistent career. Mm-hmm. That's it. Make sure they're confident. Give them the tools to find what they're passionate about and go succeed. And I spoke with one of my students. I worked with him at Eastlake, and then I actually worked with him at Brainerd too. And I'm sorry, Howard, Eastlake and then Howard. He talked on the phone with me. He said, "Man, I want to talk to you about the schools for a second." I said, "Of course, that's why I'm here." And he said, "I want to make all the schools the same." And I was just flabbergasted. Nobody's put it that way. I think we are confusing our community by throwing around some of these big words, inequities, socioeconomic, this and that. And he just put it the way it needs to be said. Why aren't all of our schools the same? Why aren't all of our students treated the same way? And I said, "We have to get this off of the ground." He said, "All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow."
That's great. Well, one of the biggest initiatives of Dr. Johnson since coming on board has been the implementation of the Future Ready Institutes. You know, what do you see as the impact of these new programs on our high schools and on our students?
Really excited about the Future Ready Institutes. I'm especially biased for Lookout Valley Middle High School, not only because it's in my district, but they also have digital media production.
Yeah,
and
nice.
Mr. Eric Ford, obviously that's what we're doing right now, and I know you're into that too, Matt. So it's exciting that they can start learning that as a freshman in high school. I mean, did you start doing this as a freshman?
No, I mean, I totally learned this off YouTube videos, you know, yeah. 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, right. So if you would have started doing it as a freshman, who knows? Who knows? And that's really exciting for our students. Again, similarly to the magnet schools, there are still limitations for the students these institutes are built for. They still have to provide their own transportation. They still have to go outside of their community. And honestly, with my time in these communities, I'm not sure I could tell you a single student in the opportunity zone who would want to go outside of that community, because when they go back home, they're going to get bullied. Mm-hmm. They're going to get bullied for going to a better school. Why are you going to this other school? Why are you leaving us here? Yeah. And so I'm not sure, again, that this program is helping really those who need it the most. Mm-hmm. But I'm excited because it is a step in the right direction. And one of the biggest parts of my platform, too, is bringing the business community into our schools. One of the initiatives I'd love to start is Adopt a Classroom. So right now with the Future Ready Institutes, we basically have businesses adopting a school, hoping to pipeline some of the great talent we have here in our public schools into a sustainable career. I would like to do that on the classroom level even, so that a business can adopt a classroom, so a student in that classroom sees, first off, more money, more resources, a beautiful, more effective classroom, but they also see, even if it's a silly sign or some people coming from the business every now and then, somebody outside of this building cares about me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously one of the sign of success for any public school is how much is that community involved in that public school. I mean, you mentioned Normal Park earlier. That's a hallmark of that transforming that school is getting the public involved. You know, in an interview I did with Dr. Johnson back when he first started here, he mentioned that one of the biggest challenges he sees within HCDE is a public perception problem. And what he was saying is it's not that there aren't legitimate challenges with some of our schools. But it's the problem is that the stories that get highlighted within our school system are the negative stories, whether that's failing test scores or discipline problems. And yet there's so many amazing things happening around the county that don't get talked about. And so, you know, what I'm kind of excited about to ask everybody running for school board is to tell us a story of a positive story about a school or something happening within the school system of District 6.
It's funny. I posted it last night, and it was from the previous school board meeting. Two of the schools in District 6, there were three recognized. Two out of the three were from District 6 for being top high schools in the state of Tennessee.
That's phenomenal. Wow. Yeah.
It's unbelievable, but who knows? Who knows that?
Yeah.
Does the community know that? Was that in the newspaper? I didn't see it in the newspaper. I didn't hear about it. If I wouldn't have been running for a school board for District 6, I would have had no idea. And another part of that success is the previous student representative on the school board is from District 6. Mr. Tyrese Jones, he's going to NYU to pursue his career in acting. That's huge.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's from a public school in Hamilton County and one of our traditionally very well-respected Chattanooga City School right there. There's just so much good happening, and it's unfortunate we only hear about the bad. And so what I tell people all the time is positivity is a strategy. Mm. If you are just positive about the way that you speak, you give confidence to our students. You give confidence to our teachers, staff, school board. It allows everyone to just continue to push forward and have a little bit more energy to do so. And that's great. That's what you need. And this positivity, that's one of the things our teachers are looking for. In my talk with teachers, in being in a classroom, working with other teachers, it is not about the dollar bill. It is about a better way of life, a better lifestyle, more positive headspace, really. And we need to recruit more teachers. And it's not just about the money. We are losing teachers, yes, because we're not competitive against Georgia, against Knox County when we're talking about teacher salaries. But additionally, we are not celebrating and communicating our successes. So teachers who are outside or inside Hamilton County, when they are looking at our Department of Education as a potential employer and all they see are bad things, why would you come here to work? And my analogy is people don't go work at Google because of the salary, the amount they get paid. They go work at Google because of the lifestyle, the opportunities given them to grow. And I think especially our generation, that's more what we're focused on.
Well, Michael, is there anything else within your platform or anything else that you really want the constituents of District 6 to know about you as they go to the voting booth on August 2nd?
Absolutely. Number one, I've worked in our schools. I think that is extremely vital to understanding what the schools need. I've been there. I still speak with our students. I speak with our teachers and staff. I ask everyone who's going to the voting booth, if you're just voting for someone because you saw their name on a sign, realize that you're voting for the money. And money is the cause of these inequities in the schools. So take a little bit of time to ask students, ask teachers, ask people who are fighting against these inequities right now, and see who they recommend as a school board representative. I had a funny story a few months ago. My old supervisor, she said, "Oh, I was talking to some of your old students. They're really excited to vote for you in August." She said, "Yeah. They didn't know you're running in another district." And so that was just heartwarming and has really helped me sustain through this campaign is I know how I've made a difference in these student lives, and I want to make sure that I continue to do so, and I really seek that opportunity, and I want to earn everyone's vote for August 2nd for District 6. It's important to me. It's what I'm supposed to be doing. It's why I'm here. It's why I'm here in Hamilton County. I don't have any children of my own right now, but Hamilton County is my home. I'm going to make my family here, and I am going to put my students in public school. I went to traditional public school from K through 12, through undergrad, and through grad school. I went to a traditional public school, and I thankfully was able to use, for example, Tennessee lottery scholarships. And so it's my time to pay back. I don't have the money to personally give back to those taxpayers and everybody who bought a lottery ticket, but I can give you my time, my ear, and my efforts for our students. So that's why I'm here.
Well, Michael, where can people learn more about you and about your campaign?
if you just search, I don't want to say Google search, that's like a Google plug, but search on any platform that you prefer, Bing, whatever it may be, search Michael Henry for the schools. That's really what it's all about. It's not vote for Michael Henry, put me on the school board. It's not Michael Henry for the school board. It's Michael Henry for the schools. That's really what it's all about. So my website is of the same name, michaelhenryfortheschools.com, facebook.com/michaelhenryfortheschools. You can also reach out, call me, text me, 615-522-4903. Give me a call. I'd love to hear what you need.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me, Matt.
Thank you so much to Michael for taking time for this interview. Now, Mr. Henry is running for District 6 school board seat against Jenny Hill, whose interview was released at the same time as this one. So please take time and listen to that interview as well, especially if you are a listener in downtown Chattanooga, which is a large portion of District 6. Now, in the show notes of this episode, you'll find links to the Hamilton County election website, a link to a map of Hamilton County commission districts, which mirror the school board districts, as well as links to the website for the candidate being interviewed. Thank you to Charles Allison at the Chattanooga Public Library for helping to produce this episode. And thank you to each one of you for taking time to listen and get to know the people seeking to represent you in public office. Again, be sure to check out our episode with Jenny Hill, as well as other interviews with candidates for County Mayor, County Commission, and Hamilton County School Board. And as a final reminder, get out and vote. Early voting is open right now as this episode is being released, and the big day is coming up on August 2nd. So get out and vote and tune in next time as we continue to introduce you to the men and women hoping to represent you in local government.